Welcome back to the Jeff Moore Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thank you for listening. We're pre-recording some interviews. It's actually Saturday. By the time you hear this, it'll be Monday. But we're in Florence, Alabama, and I had the opportunity, or having the opportunity, to sit down with Congressman Mel Brooks of Alabama's 5th Congressional District. Congressman, how are you this morning?
I'm doing well. Just drove over from Huntsville to the Quad Cities area to visit with a bunch of citizens who are very concerned about the direction of our country, and Congressman Robert Adderholt and I are going to try to share information with them, insight about what's happening in Washington, perhaps to motivate them to do more to stop this socialist threat to our liberty and freedom.
Right, and that seems to be a big focus right now. It's not clear to me who's steering the ship of Washington, D.C. right now. It's Biden's first 100 days. Typically, a new president has a big agenda going forth and doing big things, but we're I don't know if this is a fair statement, but it seems like we're still in this weird messaging build a phase of things from the election, that it goes and doesn't really get through the Senate or have any prayer of anything like that. It's just a lot of progressive policies, or so-called progressive policies, that
are much too kind. Progressive suggests going forward these are regressive. They are dangerous. They threaten our liberties and freedom. They're dictatorial, and we should be doing everything we possibly can to stop them. And to the extent they're not going through the United States Senate, then we're doing what's in the best interest of the United States of America.
Yeah, well, it's just a matter, I guess, they go to the Senate to slow down, but
I prefer kill.
Kill.
But slow down is productive, too.
Well, what we saw last night, the so-called COVID relief, but really just a big spending bill, an additional big spending bill in the name of COVID relief.
Well, the Democrats are excellent at marketing things one way, giving a bill a name that is motherhood and apple pie when it's really the devil's doings. And this borrow and spend bill, roughly $2 trillion, it's a payback to the radical socialist supporters who helped steal the elections in the House, the Senate, and in the White House. It wasn't just the White House where this voter fraud was occurring. It was for every other race that was on the ballot. And it takes a lot of money to reward those who have done what they did. You've got hundreds of billions of dollars that are being spent to pay people not to work. You've got hundreds of billions of dollars that are being spent to offset the damage done to various cities and states because of mayors and governors who have shut down their own economies. And so the socialist Democrats are trying as much as possible to shore up their weaknesses with the American people in those areas where they've done so much economic damage.
Well, let's talk about, if some form of this gets through, we're kind of back on this big spending. It didn't really slow down that much when Republicans were in control. But, this is something you talk about a lot. The spending, does this ever come to a head with some kind of runaway inflation or some kind of consequences for the American people?
The end game is devastating to the United States of America and to all or almost all Americans. We would have hyperinflation. We would have an insolvency. We would have a bankruptcy. The safety net that helps people, particularly the elderly, with Social Security would be destroyed. No one knows when the end game is going to get here. It will probably be triggered the moment foreign countries realize that the trade-off of the dollars that we're giving them simply by changing numbers on a computer screen or at the printing press, at the National Mint, is not a fair trade-off for the hard work and effort and money that those foreign countries put into the products that they make that we then just give them cash for. The moment that the dollar stops being the world's currency, that is the moment when economic devastation hits the United States because of this out-of-control debt, which, by the way, this year is going to exceed $30 trillion, assuming that the $2 trillion borrow and spend bill passes in the next week. And $30 trillion, to put that into perspective, Jeff, your share is $90,000. But that's not really true because you're married and you have a child.
Right.
So your share is $370,000 because it's $90,000 for every man, woman, and child. But that's not really true either because you and your wife earn enough money to have to pay income taxes, which means you have to then pay for the share of those that don't earn enough money to pay income taxes. So double your share. Your share then is $540,000. Can you write us a check?
Probably not.
Well, that's what we're looking at. I mean, who is it that's responsible for America's deficit and debt? It's American citizens. We are the ones that are ultimately on the hook to bail out our federal government when it comes time to pay the tab. And it's horrific. These debt junkies in Washington, D.C., and we have Republican debt junkies too, don't get me wrong. I'm one of those that votes against almost all these spending bills, but I don't have enough help in the House or in the Senate to be financially responsible. And when that bill comes due, there's going to be economic havoc. And you can look at various countries who have gone through this. Right now, Venezuela's going through it, and it's not a pretty sight. You know, people are starving in Venezuela. The average weight loss over the last 2 or 3 years per citizen is in the neighborhood of 20 pounds because they can't get enough calories to sustain their body weights. This is dangerous. No telling how bad it gets if suddenly we don't have the ability to afford a national defense that provides us with security, and not only us, but Europe and various other parts of the globe. What happens in those parts of the globe when the United States is no longer able to help, say, South Korea from a North Korean invasion, or Taiwan from a Chinese invasion, or Japan from a robust Chinese military? What's going to happen with Eastern Europe, wherein the Russians decide that they want to attack as they have in the Ukraine? What's going to happen when the United States no longer has the ability to pay for the defense that has provided an umbrella, a shield, in so many parts of the planet?
Congressman, something else we're talking about, let's switch gears here a little bit. You going back to Washington, D.C., and now you have several layers of security. The fence is still up from after January 6th. What are you hearing? Does this situation ever get back to normal, at least before Republicans get the House again?
There is no security threat to the United States Capitol that justifies spending over $500 million for that fence with razor wire on top and the National Guardsmen who have been taken from their home states to patrol that fence. There is no security threat that I am aware of or that anyone else I'm aware of in the United States Congress can show. Right now, what basically is happening is Queen Nancy, and we call it Fort Pelosi.
Right.
Queen Nancy has erected Fort Pelosi for symbolic reasons as a reminder of what happened on January the 6th, a once-in-a-lifetime thing. And quite frankly, I believe Nancy Pelosi was correct when she publicly stated the other day that the enemy is within. What she didn't say is that she was looking at a mirror, and that the enemy to the American people, to our liberties and freedoms, are the socialists who are dictating to the American people what we can and cannot do, that we no longer have the kind of freedom of speech that we have taken for granted, that we have the kind of censorship by the big tech companies that are in alliance with the socialists, that we no longer have the freedom to protest, to assemble, to express our grievances to the federal government, that the socialists are using this military-type environment to suppress all of those things. And worse yet is the symbolism of it all, that the American people are not allowed to petition their government, the capital of the United States, because they can't get to it. They're barred from entering the United States Capitol. To a large degree, they're barred from entering the House office buildings, the Senate office buildings. The restrictions, the barriers are just unbelievable, and it's wrong.
Joined by Congressman Mo Brooks from Alabama's 5th Congressional District here on the program. Congressman, you were recently named in a lawsuit filed by your colleague, Eric Swalwell, also Donald Trump, in the lawsuit. Your reaction to this maneuver from the member of the Congress from California?
Well, first, I'm proud to be standing tall with President Donald Trump and Donald Trump Jr. in the fight for honest and accurate elections, because that's what it's all about if you look at the details of this litigation. But the litigation is frivolous. It's brought by a communist sympathizer, a fellow by the name of Eric Swalwell. And I'm serious when I say communist sympathizer. Many of the listeners may not know this, but it wasn't that long ago that he was betting a communist Chinese spy while he was on the House Intelligence Committee that is privy and regularly briefed on the most highly classified information that is shared with the United States Congress. When that committee meets, it's in the basement of the Capitol Visitor Center in a very difficult-to-penetrate SCIF, S-C-I-F, that is designed to make sure that no sounds are heard outside its walls. Well, we've got a United States congressman who is betting a communist spy while he is on that House Intelligence Committee, and he's the one that's bringing the litigation. The litigation is meritless. It's scurrilous. We'll see how it plays out long term. It might be strictly political motivation on his part. Personally, I believe that's the case, where he wants to distract people from his having been in bed with a communist spy for as long as he was. You may recall that that's a recent exposure.
Right.
Exposure is probably a pretty good word. that has come to light. For whatever reason, Eric Swalwell did not inform the United States Congress, as he should have, of his conflict of interest while he was betting that communist spy. And we'll see how it all plays out. I'm angered by it, but you know what? This is what the socialists are now doing. They're playing for keeps as they try to impose dictatorial decrees on the rest of America. It is an effort to chill freedom of speech. And if they can do it to a former president of the United States, if they can do it to a United States congressman, don't you believe that they won't hesitate to do it to you? Because they will do it to you, regular Jane and Joe citizen, if you express your freedom of speech rights in a way that they disagree with. They'll come after you next, and that's wrong. And that's an emphasis, an exclamation point, on why we have to saddle up, we have to gird our loins, we have to put on our battle armor, and we have to win in 2022, or we're going to lose our country, a country that is based on liberty and freedom and has given us so much for so long and has evolved into the greatest nation in world history. We're about to lose all of that to the socialist element in the United States of America if we don't wake up and fight back at the ballot box.
Finally, Congressman, just a couple more minutes here to go. Your name mentioned, among others, to be looking at a 2022 Senate run. Where are you in that decision-making process? Where do you think you stand today?
Well, I will make my decision on whether I'm going to run for the United States Senate or re-election to the House of Representatives and announce it probably sometime in March, maybe April. We'll see how things play out. I'm quite frankly very encouraged by the polling data that suggests that the Alabama people prefer me over all other candidates. Right now, we're in the fight of our lives, political fight of our lives, and Alabama citizens are starting to grasp and understand the risks that are involved, and they want a fighter. They don't want another pansy, weak-kneed establishment Republican who wants to go along and get along. They want someone who will fight for the foundational principles that have combined to make America the greatest nation in world history. And that's something I've been doing for a long period of time in the United States Congress and in other elected offices that I've held in the past. And it's very gratifying and very much appreciative that the polling data suggests that the people of Alabama in the Republican primary want Mo Brooks.
You think a lot of that comes from they're at the end standing with Donald Trump on the questions about the election's integrity?
Well, that's part of it, that I led the fight in the United States Congress for honest and accurate elections and against the voter fraud and the election theft efforts that were so widespread during the 2020 election cycle. But it's also having a long track record of fighting for the Second Amendment, right to bear arms. It's a long track record of fighting for free enterprise, which is based on liberty, and against socialism. It's a long track record of being pro-life. Quite frankly, in my view, the Alabama people do not want someone who is untried. Right. They want someone who is proven and who they know will do what he says he's going to do if elected to the United States Senate. And I'm the only candidate that you can look at that has a proven track record of being a conservative, not only when you're campaigning, but also when you're governing. And again, the polling data has been very complimentary, and I want to thank the Alabama citizens for the trust that they have bestowed upon me for the work that I have done in the past. But bear in mind, and I keep in mind, that polling data is a snapshot in a moment in time. It can change rapidly, and you can bet your bottom dollar that there's going to be millions of dollars spent trying to portray people as conservatives when you really don't know if that's the case, because they have no track record that proves it.
Congressman, we've got to leave it there. You've been very gracious with your time this morning, but we always appreciate it. Let's talk again really soon.
All right. Thank you, Jeff.
Thank you. That was Congressman Mo of Alabama's 5th Congressional District. We got to get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5.
We'll be home by your side. She's laying in bed as her DJ tells her that he loves her.